This show has been brought to you by AutoApp. It's a one-stop app that takes care of all your car needs. I'm Sheldon Trollope. Yeah, as a motoring journalist for 20 years, people would have heard of me. Of course, my co-host, Joel Tam.
Every single car. Huh?
And the other co-host, my colleague, Jonathan Lim. Feel free to vent your true feelings about Supercar of Blondie.
Oh, that's a dangerous thing to say, right?
That's why we are here, John. Idris Talib, he used to be a motoring journalist, and then he's gone over to the dark side.
Aiyah, you don't be so serious, man.
Yeah. But back to, like, you're talking about, like, weird wheels on V-dubs, right? Mm. Like Skodas. I don't like a lot of the diamond cut designs now these days.
Mark and GTI.
Actually, the Octavia RS, perfect. The wheels, apart from the wheels. Yeah. Mm. The rest of the range, now actually the whole industry going to diamond cut kind of style. I'm not a fan
at all.
And then the two-tone colour, right?
Not really. Just give me a single, like, solid, you know. Actually, a lot of the diamond cut wheels that you find on cars in general these days, right? A lot of them look quite nice in their single colour variant.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I like the OEM Volkswagen wheels of before. I think they look very good. If you just want the car to look good, you put some spacers, you lower it, it looks
your Passat wheels are quite nice. Joel, your wife's Golf
1.4.
Yeah, very similar stuff. Those wheels, yeah. I can't remember.
Twin spoke, 10 spoke.
Yeah.
Twin 5 spoke.
Yeah. It's 18 inches.
Salvador,
is it? Yeah. So I think there are certain variants of it, slightly thicker spokes, slightly thinner.
The Passat one is similar, but I think got one extra line
something somewhere.
And I miss the old GTI wheels.
Detroit
wheels, right?
$30 wheels, right?
Yeah. And they had the 17-inch one also, which also looked quite good, but I can't remember the name. Detroit.
Detroit was the 18s. The 17s were...
Watkins Glen or something like that.
I think someone in the audience probably would be saying, it's that one. Still can't really remember.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure it's named after a US city.
It is.
Oh, they all are,
that's
right?
What I said. Yeah. I want to say Watkins Glen.
No, it's not.
Then it's something else. Watkins Glen is also made up, but I think it's a different design.
Yeah, never mind. Well, you guys continue. I'll do the Google search.
Okay.
So, Sheldon, you drove the Mark 8 GTI, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that feels compared to the Octavia RS?
Okay. To be honest, I didn't have a lot of seat time in the Mark 8 GTI because I think cars like that, you really appreciate them when you travel, when you spend more time with them, drive a longer distance and go, say, to the B roads of Malaysia and all that. So I began to actually like the car more the more you spend on it. Case in point is the Land Rover Discovery, which we had like 8 days with. In the US. The first few days, in the beginning when I was told that, so the story goes, I want to drive the new Range Rover because that's the latest car and everyone's kind of talking about it and stuff like that. I didn't go for the launch. So I thought this opportunity would be a good chance to try to bag a Range Rover drive. But the trip was last minute, they didn't have time and they didn't have a car available.
Yeah.
And then they offered, says, we don't have a Range Rover, but we can offer you a Discovery. My heart kind of sank, to be honest, because I never liked the way the Discovery looked.
Right.
I mean, the proportions just seemed a bit weird. Like, the side windows seem a bit too small for such a big car, especially on the rear door. It makes it look like there's not enough room for the back passengers, and it just seems a bit weird, like the proportions. But by the end of the week, I actually started to have a different opinion about it. It actually grew on me. I mean, the way it just soaked up the bumps and it was so refined and comfortable and then just made for a super easy drive on US roads. It just won me over on that. And then after, to my eyes, the design of that car wasn't too bad. So it started to kind of make sense and started to see it in a literally a different light in California.
The different light made it a more...
Yeah, brought out certain lines about it and stuff like that. So in the end, I came away being quite fond of that car. Likewise, with the Skoda as well, we spent about 2 days with the Skoda range. And the Octavia as well, there were parts of it that I went into it without any expectations, but came away looking nice. So what I found my first drive of the Octave RS was in a car park. Mm-hmm. And I told Joel, like, within like 30 seconds of maneuvering out of that car park back onto the road, mm-hmm. it already imparted that sense that this is going to be a good drive. Mm-hmm. It's one of those cars where the steering feel is much nicer than Golf's of late that I can care to remember.
Oh, wow.
I always found that the thing about the Golf steering is actually at parking speeds and all that. Right? Mm-hmm. It's very light and there's no weight to it until you start to move, get some speed under you, then it kind of weights up nicely. Mm. So they already the Skoda felt better in that way. So and then the Octavia has also that new touchscreen and everything where even the volume is a slider bar that you slide and all that. So not a fan of that. And happily, the Kodiak, right, felt like one generation behind the Octavia.
It is.
Which is, you have a proper gear knob, still a bit of touchscreen here and there, but still enough hard buttons to that I could work the controls off, adjust the aircon without having to take my
slider.
So I don't have to take my eyes off the road and work these things. When with the Octavia, where everything is through the touchscreen and the windows, right?
Yeah.
You have to literally look down, take your eyes off the road to adjust the thing. Mm. Of course, I guess there's somebody out there who will say, oh, you're supposed to make all these adjustments, before you set off your drive and all that. But yeah, it's like, you're supposed to do that, but the reality is when you're driving, it may be cloudy when you set off and it gets hotter during the day or things like that. You want to do things on the fly. And you could do that in older cars before. Why can't you do that now in world cars? How is that an improvement that I can't do the thing I used to be able to do safely in the old car, in the new car? So it's not doesn't convince me. So that also kind of pushed me more towards winning the Kodiak. True. Made me like the Kodiak even more.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it lost a little bit of that Skoda-ness where you didn't quite feel like so many hooks or... the cars used to have this rechargeable flashlight that doubled up as a boot light for the luggage where you could block it out and then it was a magnetic thing you could stick it in. Yeah, it didn't have that.
Oh, in the Octavia.
Yeah, Octavia. To be fair, I think even the Kodiak didn't have that. Mm. So, but the Kodiak had these cool door guard things where when you swing out the door, this little strip of plastic suddenly appears.
Yeah.
And then it saves the door from being dinged or the other car from being dinged. So I like that kind of thing.
No, it's like very tiny but very well thought out.
Exactly. So to me, that made for that Skoda experience. Once again, I feel that I think that if you can swing that extra 30-40 grand for the Kodiak, it's you get more car for the money.
It's just a pity, COE now.
It's a real pity. Yeah. I mean, if COE were reasonable, that's low 200, so I think quite fair.
Quite fair.
COE is 100.
Quite a lot of car for the money. Yeah. But now that kind of price is met.
I remember the Octavia RS when it launched at the start of the year, it was, I think I want to say like 170 something, 180
something. 160
something,
170.
Yeah, 170 something. Yeah.
And now it's 215?
Previous model, 120 something.
Oh my god.
Crazy, right?
So actually, going on with what you say about the touchscreens or that, right? And yes, Joel, you're right. I would definitely have an Octavia RS because I just think it is the most complete car, like real world. I mean, if you have
liftback or combi?
Combi would be ideal, but the previous gen we never got that. So the liftback is plenty fine enough. Okay. And I find that because the drivetrain is the same as the current one, it's still a 245 HP, still got the LSD. And it's got a much better, easier to use infotainment. I guess very similar to the one you had in the Kodiak. Yeah, I would actually much prefer that compared to the new one. But it's just like, I mean, all these Octavia RSs are just like, I think they always have been, just complete, everything you need in the car.
Yeah, with good value, somehow.
And
always kind of flown a little bit under the radar, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not so obvious.
Yeah.
I guess the Skoda badge still has some baggage to some people.
A little bit now.
A bit now, yeah.
I found out the name for the rim.
Yeah.
So the 17-inch are called Denvers.
Denver.
And the 18s
are Detroit.
Mark 5 GTI.
So the Denver was just one color throughout.
Yeah.
And the Detroit, the inside was black.
Black. Right? Yeah. 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 The outside was polished, the machine finish.
Mm.
Correct, correct.
Detroit.
Mm.
But both were nice.
Yeah.
I think had Denver's on the Polo GTI. Mm.
Denver.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you bought the press car.
Yeah, I bought the press car. Crazy, right? But it's one of those. I think it's the only time I would have done it. We did a test of I think the Fabia,
RS
at the time, and then Polo GTI and a Mini. I want to say Cooper S. I think. And I was quite taken by the styling of the Polo. Mm-hmm. I thought the proportions were very nice. Mm-hmm. And drove it, and the equipment was okay, and the performance was good. And I liked that sort of. I was intrigued by the twin charge aspect of the mechanical thing that had both the supercharger and turbocharger in that and all that. So yeah, those kind of things interest me, lah. You know. Mm. Yeah.
But so I think. Okay, and this is something that Marcus had discussed long before joining us, right? Mm-hmm. When he was still studying. It's like, we always wondered, like, how was the ownership experience of that? Because of specifically buying an express car.
Right.
Because those things are used hard.
We had talked about this before. I asked you the same question, right?
Yeah. When you go to a sort of launch, park that car, and then you look around, and it's like meeting your wife's ex-boyfriend with that glint in their eye, like, yeah, yeah, I've done things. But actually it wasn't, yeah, I mean, I guess I had faith in new cars that they are not as delicate or fragile as people might think them to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly robust.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there hasn't been a serious accident or things like that, that was okay.
Mm.
And of course, you know, at that time, the PR manager was our good friend Colin.
Oh, yes.
Who was also a former motoring journalist. So I kind of confided in him, you know, colleague to colleague, right? This is, hey, this car can buy or not. I mean, you know, because I wanted to get into a GTI Volkswagen car, and the only way that I could make it work financially was to buy that press car.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually came up to him and says, hey, I need a car. I'm thinking of, and this is the only way I can get one. But be straight up with me, can buy or not this car, you know? So he would know the history of that car, if any, you know, incidents had happened. And he said, no, actually it's pretty clean. And it wasn't on the press fleet that long. It was maybe 9 months at the most.
Okay.
Yeah. So in fact, they weren't even planning to sort of phase that out yet. You know, normally after about 10 months or 12 months, then they sell off that car and then they get a new one or something like that. So I kind of accelerated the plan of that. That was a few months ahead of schedule, if I remember correctly. Mm. Then of course, once we had agreed and everything, then they sort of put it through the valet thing where they clean out and buff out everything and all that. And the car was practically in brand new condition. You couldn't tell that it was used apart from the miles on the odometer. Everything else felt tight and good. Yeah.
So engine, no issues, suspension.
So the engine had an issue early on in life, I have to say, but that was also a known issue for the early batch of Polo GTIs, and that had a very high engine oil consumption.
Okay.
So eventually there was a technical bulletin, and what happened was the crankcase had this sort of breather valve, and that oil was, through the design of that breather valve, they was losing a lot of engine oil there.
Mm.
So once they had replaced that, that wasn't a problem anymore.
So I mean more like, so no, you couldn't feel like it's hard previous life, sir?
No, you couldn't really.
Okay,
you couldn't really tell that, you know, it had been abused, or no creaks, or, you know, things like rattles and, you know, things like that. Or even scuffs on the interior or anything. It was pretty clean. Hmm. It was pretty okay. Yeah, I think if you could tell, then I wouldn't have been enthusiastic about buying that car in the first place during that test and everything. So from the minute we ended the day with that test, you know, I was quite sure that it would be mine. Then it wasn't loaned out anymore to the rest of the press because I put in that call and said, okay, we'll just put this car on hold for you and, you know, let's talk about numbers and all that thing. And then once all is agreed, then so that turned out to be the case.
Oh, nice.
So I don't think all the usual suspects had a chance to drive it yet.
Mm.
But it was enough to say that it was used. And I've seen some of the photos in some of the reviews.
Very enthusiastically.
Yeah. But again, I have to say that new cars these days, modern cars, they're
a lot more
as,
robust. Yeah.
They're not as fragile as you think. You can actually get away with quite a bit.
Mm. So I guess the takeaway for the listeners is that, you know, if you're buying a new car, then don't be afraid. Or do go out and search for those like demo cars, sales,
management cars. Nothing wrong with that. If it saves you a couple of grand and
tens of grand,
it puts you in a position where you can now buy, afford that car. Mm.
So even the cars that we drove to Kuantan.
I think nothing happened to it.
Honestly,
at least you know they're nicely run in.
Yeah. And the cars are definitely more robust, a lot more tighter.
Yeah.
These days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your estima, how long left?
Well, unless you can convince me to fit 8 people into a
Kodiak
or estima, then sorry lah, that's not gonna. I'm not gonna be thinking about that. Yeah. I still need that space and number of seats. So I guess that sums up what we've been up to for the last 4 weeks or so.
Explains our extended absence.
Yes, and hopefully we'll get back on a more regular schedule to talk about whatever the viral videos and what's been happening with the car scene locally. COE hopefully. And I think let's try to figure out a way of thing like, okay, what's the best way to navigate this difficult time now. You should try and pick a car every week and say, okay, this is our favorite car. I think this is a good deal and here's why. I'm sure Idris would have some how's that coming along, Idris?
Well, I've stopped actually selling cars for now. Just taking it easy. I still can do paperwork and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I mean, the knowledge to do it is. I mean, I think it lasts a lifetime. I've stopped doing it, but interest rates have gone up. That's one thing to note. Which means that
it's going to cost you to buy more.
It's going to cost more to buy a car for sure. It used to be 1.88. Sometimes you could find 1.68% for used cars as well as new cars. But now you're looking at the lowest at 2.08.
Wow.
Most places 2.28% for bank loans.
What about availability of cars? Are more people getting rid of their cars now? Or is it harder to find cars to sell now?
It seems like there are more people are holding on to their cars because they are starting to realize that if they sell them, even though they are selling it at a profit, much higher price,
it's still going to cost them more.
The next car they're going to buy, even though it's used, it's going to cost way more than it did 2-3 years ago.
So they just hold on.
Which then lightens
the supply of used cars, which then raises the price of those that are.
That's right. Yeah. So I felt that. I saw that. You know. I mean, to me, the reason why I stopped is I want to do content fully and stuff. So I mean, it's easier to focus that way.
Okay.
But it seems like times are changing, and honestly, people are selling cars like they buy it like 6 months, 8 months ago. They're selling it for what they bought it for. A bit more still. It's still happening. I do think it's a bubble.
It's a bubble.
Yeah, it's a bubble that doesn't make much sense. Because right now, you're selling a car with more profit.
Mm.
The banks are giving interest rates which are higher. So they're earning more already for a car that is going to get resold at a higher price.
Okay.
So to me, you know, what's the point of increasing interest rates? Even though, yes, US Federal Reserve, you know, has increased. But yeah, so to me, I do think that it's a bubble that will burst.
How long do you think this bubble will last for?
I think it will last maybe 1-2 years. I think past 2024, maybe you won't see this already.
That longer?
Yeah.
Oh, it feels really long.
Yeah. 2024, I think that's when, yeah, it won't make any sense. I mean, how high is high, right?
Mm. Yeah. Like, I don't think it could get any worse, but, you know, yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, for new car buyers or really people who need to change a car, then yes, you know, COE 100,000, no, I'm not going to pay that. I buy a used car. Then if you take reference to that, yes, it's going to be cheaper. But then once, I mean, COE prices will come down, then after that, I think it will be quite.
If interest rates and fuel prices stay at where they are, I feel for more than 1.5 years, right? My fear is that it will never come down.
Mm.
Because you run into the next generation of car buyers who are buying their first cars at these prices.
Mm, yeah.
And to them, it's normal.
Yeah.
Mm.
To them, $100,000 COE is has always been that way.
Mm, yeah.
You know, those first-time car buyers and stuff like that. So they figure out a way to get into those cars despite the prices.
Mm.
Then they'll just happily be paying at this price level.
Mm, yeah.
And we may not see it come down, you know, if it stays up for as long as it does. I mean, put it this way. Can you see a time now where petrol prices will dip below, will get to $2 per litre?
No, I don't think so.
It should look like it, right?
During COVID, I mean, in Singapore, right? Pump prices.
Below, okay. So now we're in hovering around $3. You think it will ever come back down to 220?
No,
then?
No.
Much less two, so. Below two.
No, lah. Even during COVID, it was not even below.
It's still, yeah. So would it go below 280, let's say?
Maybe.
I'd consider that.
I would say maybe 280 to 90 makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Still.
But like, probably around, I mean, the reality is we're looking at $3 per litre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right now, 95 is what, 330, right? 220.
I haven't checked
recently. I know 98 is 380. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think 95 is 330 something, which is also nuts.
So will we see a sub 3 per litre price anymore?
I think it might be possible if like Russia and Ukraine gets resolved. And or the, you know, the, just
resolved meaning somebody actually gets rid of Putin.
Well, not in those words, but yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that, or rather, as long as that source of conflict and instability is resolved, I think that's what's holding
everything.
The rest of things from like normalizing.
Okay. So somebody please resolve this conflict already, because we're getting sick and tired of paying all these prices.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so on that note, we'll conclude the show.
It's a very dour note to end on.
I know. I wish I could land on something more upbeat, but be my guest, John.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, what can I look forward to until the next show next week?
What you can look forward to until the next show?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. We forgot to bring our crystal ball. I just can't help you there.
So we'll see.
But I think you can look out for on Ignition Labs' YouTube channel, Ignition TV.
Uh-huh.
We'll have your starring video. You're starring in the Fiat 500 review.
Oh, yes.
With our AutoX community manager, Vivek.
Okay.
That's quite funny because it's two quite large guys in a very small car.
Yeah. And you were in it as well.
I was cameo.
So it's three guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And after that, you know, I had a BMW M special.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. So when is that all gonna? Or when are you gonna see those videos?
TBC. It depends on the videographer.
Can we see it by before the next show?
probably a draft. I think.
Draft. Yeah. I don't want to see a draft. I want to see the whole thing. Like, come on, man. We'll be seeing the Top Gear, what, Top Gun 3 by the time your videos come out. Okay, so hopefully we'll have a nice, two nice videos to talk about by then. And if not,
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of things in the news to talk about.
Okay, and if you have any questions or you want car advice or want to know anything about cars, just drop us a line on Facebook. Look us podcast by AutoApp or Instagram. Yeah. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
As car owners living busy lives, we found that we had to take time out to do certain chores like sending out cars for inspection, for example, taking it for servicing or repairs. And every time we did that, we had to take time out from our schedules, take a day off, or worst of all, being stuck in the waiting area or lounge of the workshop. And, you know, you just feel helpless being there. Nothing else to do but stare at your phone, you know, drink the bad coffee if there is one over there. And you just waste half a day waiting for your car to be done. This is where Auto App comes in. You just download the app, pick a service you want, tell us what time and where you want us to pick up your car, and it's done. Don't just fix it, Auto App it.